Okay, we start our story on the outskirts of a small town called Orr's Rest. Two characters brush past each other, one a young man heading into town, and the other a woman heading out. You want to describe what Sundell looks like?
Yeah. So Sundell, short, kind of, at this point, for lack of a better term, malnourished. He hasn't been eating very well. He's really rough, looks rough, blue eyes, clean shaven, and he's kind of got that hair from Treasure Planet, a little dirty all over, not wearing the best of clothing. It's not someone you go out of your way to say hello to.
And brushing past him is Sky, kind of a pretty tall woman, early 20s. Like, diamond blue eyes and, like, very inhumanly beautiful, which kind of catches Sundell's attention a little bit. And he realizes she's heading almost with, like, on her face, she's heading directly toward a keep that Sundell knows belongs to kind of a well-known evil sorcerer in this area named Zane.
The reason Sky stuck out so much is because, one, she's incredibly beautiful, two, and you did a really good job describing yourself. My guy's short, smelly, blue eyes.
Oh, and at this point in time, Sky has, like, completely white hair.
Right, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you... You know, like, everyone just kind of shuffled around looking like, you know, it's just another day here in Orr's Rest. And you just, you know, you had that look of determination. You knew what you were doing. You knew basically where you were going, and nothing was standing in your way. And I felt like that was worth following.
All right, so you followed Sky all the way to the keep, and... You see her kind of marching up, and as soon as she gets through these gates, she just starts massacring these guards with different kinds of magic. You just see her, like, throwing her hands.
It was scary.
With each life she took, her hair slowly began to turn black, jet black, just more and more places with each life that she took.
I knew not to get in the middle of it, because no one's usually stupid enough to walk up to Zane's front gates or, you know, close to his castle and not expect to get in trouble. And he definitely wasn't expecting you to be given the trouble. I just kind of stayed back and watched this all play out.
And just in a matter of... a few seconds, Sky has just killed every guard that she's seen here, and as soon as she reaches the front doors, as soon as she goes to enter them, there's just this blast that just blasts her backwards, and it's so strong that it blasts Sundell onto his back, and he kind of hits his head.
Yeah, I fell unconscious for a
moment. Yeah, on the ground, and whenever you came to... You didn't know what happened. Sky didn't know what happened. You see her kind of barely conscious, trying to sit up, and Zane is nowhere to be seen. The keep is quiet. The lights are off.
The lights are off.
The lights are off. The lanterns are...
I'm heading out, guys. So, yeah, I mean, the next thing I did was go to this woman on the ground, and I'm still kind of scared, like... What the fuck? What were you expecting to happen?
So you kind of threw her arm over your shoulder and half carried, half dragged her back to the place you were staying.
Oh yeah, the lovely, dilapidated house I was in, yeah. The roof was caving in. Pots and pans were out, dirty, and I had a straw mattress No frame. Those were good times. Life was simple then.
So Sky wakes up in a super worn down house. Clearly hasn't been lived in. I mean, well, it looks like it hasn't been lived in quite a while. And she wakes up to just a 18, 19 year old boy just kind of sitting, waiting, watching, just waiting for her to wake up.
Yeah, no, I was, you know, I was still kind of weary with you, you know, you were clearly powerful, incredibly powerful if you were just taking men out like that. So I was very cautious, but, you know, I think one of the other first thing, once I got, you know, your name from you, I think the first thing I offered you is, would you like some hot water?
Yes. Yeah, so she asked you your name. You guys exchanged names, Sky and Sundell. And if I remember correctly, you asked what the hell she was doing. What was she doing? Yeah, why was she there?
You didn't walk like... Your clothing was different, too.
Very elven.
It was, yeah. You... But you're, you know, just the presence that you gave off, your aura was just... I never seen anyone with it before. So you were intriguing to Sundell. That sounds really creepy when I say it like that.
And Sky was not... She wasn't going to this keep to live through whatever this fight was. She knew Zane was far more powerful than her, and she was just going to take down as many people as she could. And I think she told you that. I think she told you I was not going in there to come out alive. And I mean, in her eyes, you saved her. You kind of pulled her out of that place. Nobody knew what happened to Zane, but I mean, you took her away and you gave her shelter, and she kind of felt like she owed you for that. So she
got me a new wardrobe.
We're gonna go shopping.
Simpler times.
And then there was that second night, after spending kind of that whole night and then day together, nighttime came again, and you had something to tell her.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward because Sundell had been keeping to himself basically all of his life, but he got a little hungry, and he got a little hungry for he got the munchies for humans. Well, at the time he had no idea what he was, but he told Sky that he had this toothy maw like on his hand, and
yeah, he didn't tell her, he showed her.
I just whipped it out, you know. That's the best way to tell anyone anything, is you just show them.
You pulled a chair into like the center of this room, and you told her to sit down. So she did, and you just unwrapped your hand and kind of just held it out, and its jaws are just...
I think it's gnashing, but I don't think it's like a constant like... I'd like to think it's silent. I mean, you can hear the like the teeth kind of here and there, but yeah, something like that. But I think it's like, for the most part, it's quiet.
Yeah. I don't know, she kind of, like, I guess for some of the things she had done, she kind of saw a little bit of a monster in herself, so it wasn't so hard to accept.
Beautiful. Beautifully put.
Yeah, you explained to Sky what hungry means for you.
Yeah.
And... you also explained to her your
meal preference.
Yeah, victim. Basically, preference.
Sundell has always had a problem, well, I mean, I'm sure most men do, had a problem with men being jerks to women and drunkards. So, I mean, going to a bar or a tavern, it was easy to find those targets. They were usually, you know, they were too out, they were too gone to understand what was really happening. You pretend to walk them to their house, you catch them in an alley, passed out, and then, well, that would be perfect for Sundell, because then he could feed on them. But over the course of time, he'd figured out that no one ever really woke up during it, and sometimes, like, when he did it, people would, they'd smile, kind of. He wouldn't realize what that was exactly until later.
They came up with a plan that Skye would use her looks.
Oh, I didn't mean for you to come up.
Skye would use her looks to kind of lure a victim into one of the rooms at the inn. And while she's keeping him distracted, Sundell could just come on in and... Yeah, so they go into the Fiery Grog's tavern and start looking for an arsehole, as Sundell called them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and they had the mermaid there, didn't they?
Yeah, there was a dancing mermaid also. What was his name? Frank?
It was Frank.
Frank.
Frank the
fucking Frank.
Yep.
So one of the assholes, I think he started getting a little asshole-ish to Skye too, if I remember correctly.
Probably.
He was kind of being a dick to the mermaid performer, and then you'd kind of stepped up and said something, and then Skye was there, and he just made some offhand comment about Skye, and you and Skye just kind of exchanged glances like, yep, this is the one. So Skye kind of played into his flirting and eventually got him drunk enough and just asked if he wanted to go get a room.
We didn't discuss a safe word.
Nope. They go into the room, they shut the door, and Frank is just, he's super into this. Frank is so ready for this, and he just immediately starts undressing, and this guy's like,
Sundell's ready for this too. He's just waiting for the right word to, you know, that one word to come in that was never discussed.
He's just standing outside the door like, There's this brief moment of panic where Skye's like, I'm gonna have to knock this guy out.
Oh man.
And then eventually Sundell did open the door, and so I don't know, Skye may have removed like a cloak or something. Like, she was just like, okay, let's get a fucking move on here. And
I thought there was more than that removed. Was it just I think he was
pretty naked.
Yeah.
And then before you started beating on him, you checked his pants to see if he had any fucking gold. Because his pants had dropped to the floor, and you were like, I'm gonna check his pockets.
Oh.
And I feel like you got like you got like 12 gold or something from his pockets, and I'm like, Jesus.
I wanted the money.
Can you please?
Well, okay, here's... Sundell has had, like, no more than 5 gold to his name, and then... little missed here, let me buy you everything. Of course 12 gold isn't a big deal to you. But no, yeah, but then why... Then I fed on him, and... Did we tuck him in bed? Where did I feed on him? I think I got his lower back.
I think so.
I think that's Sundell's usual target.
Go-to place.
Yeah. If someone's wearing a shirt, you can't see it. And they can't see it unless someone's behind them.
So then there's a bit of a time jump. We accepted various random jobs.
Yeah.
Within like a 3-year time span, Sky and Sundell lived together in this house, and Sundell was working at the mine.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, and I got, you know, at over the 3 years, I got like body mass back because I wasn't like skin and bones.
With a proper feeding schedule.
Again, simpler times. What'd you say?
Okay, there was one quest by a. There was a sorcerer speaking, kind of near, just right outside the mines in Bleakburn, and name was Tiberius. Yes, and he really wanted us to retrieve these crystals from inside one of the collapsed part of the mine, and so we accepted. So we went into these mines and we found these creatures.
The flumps! Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, the flumps. Flumps.
Flumps. So Sundell has a very, not in a bad way, childlike curiosity when it comes to creatures or animals at all. Anything at all, ever. So he,
You were doing, like, actual work. I'm playing with the flumps.
You're kidding. Yeah. Like, there were all the crystals, there was the little tunnel with all the flumps, and then there was a pit to the left, and these spiders just kept fucking crawling out of it. I feel like eventually...
I came over and helped you fight spiders.
Eventually. And I think we went down into the pit, or I did, to see if there was anything else down there. And then we were like, we're gonna get the fuck out of here, we gotta go get some help.
Right, yeah.
And that's when we went and got Chris, who was a cleric.
Yeah, yep. He's just some kid we brought with us.
Yeah.
We couldn't have any of the experience, the higher level.
We couldn't have any high level people to help us. So how'd that end? We took the crystals for ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... we gave Tiberius a fake crystal that Sky created in her hand with prestidigitation.
Prestidigitation, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And that was
never
it.
Heard anything
never
else.
Never heard from him again.
I mean, the jobs kind of went on like that for a while. It was just same old, same old. Everything was good. Sky and Sundell were doing pretty well for themselves. And then they accepted the job about the rat infestation in the cellar. But we overheard him also hiring two other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a tall, kind of, I think late 40s.
Yeah.
Blondish, kind of knight-looking fellow with kind of short blonde hair, carries a sword. So beside him a cloaked being, super dark, like charcoal gray skin that you could see, like you could see her hands, and the cloak kind of went over most of her face, but you could see like her ember glowing eyes through the cloak, and neither of you had ever seen anything like
she
that
was
before.
Scary too.
Yeah, she was pretty intimidating looking.
There's a lot of intimidating women that Sundell is coming. Like, more intimidating women than men.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad. I'm just... It's just... I want to point out. Yeah. It's not bad. It's just...
Yeah, so they're also hired to do this job. And so our thinking was, like, if it's just a simple rat infestation, why are you hiring multiple groups to take care of this?
I'm getting a task force for just this rat... infestation.
So we went and we hid outside the cellar because we wanted to wait and see what this other group was going to do. We were like, okay, well, they can do all the work and then we can just be the first one back.
Yeah.
and we'll get the credit for it. These two figures show up and they go into the cellar and we just hear crashing. Just fucking things, shelves falling, wood busting.
Were they carrying stuff out at that point? Or was that
yes.
Like, yeah, they were carrying barrels and stuff out. Because I think...
In shelves. I think they moved a shelf. There was a big wardrobe.
Because I think they wanted to burn the cellar to smoke out the rats.
Yeah, because the rats all disappear in the hole or something, so they're like, okay, well, we'll just light a fire. So they're getting all the important things, like the shelves and all of that stuff, out. And we're just, we hear all this crashing, and then we just look up and we see the two of them carrying, I think it was a wardrobe, out of the cellar and into the house. And we just look at each other like, what the fuck?
We went down there first.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
No, because it was a magic wall. It gave the illusion that there was a wall. And so I think we went down first, and I set a barrel in front of it to make it seem like they couldn't go in. Yeah. So, because I wanted us to go down first.
Yes, yes.
And then they ended up getting through. They ended up figuring out how to get down there.
And we hid.
We hid from them. We heard them and we hid.
So we both hid, and they walked past us. And these fucking, they were like huge rats.
And they were
rat spiders.
Yeah, they
actually
were rat spiders. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were half spider, half rat. And they were coming out, and there was a lot of them. And so we were like, shit, maybe we should help, but we don't want to, we want to stay hidden. So we're throwing shit, like, from our hidden position, throwing shit, trying to help. Skye threw one of her daggers, and it kind of clattered to the floor near Clara. And without anybody really noticing, Clara picked it up and pocketed it. Eventually, Skye and Sundell revealed themselves. We finally introduced ourselves.
Yeah.
So Clara and Damon,
they went off another direction.
Yes.
And they discovered this hammer.
Oh, yeah.
They discovered the hammer. Yeah. We saw this door. And then we couldn't... And there were like these statues, right?
Yes.
And we didn't... They were so ominous.
Yeah, like, there were like six statues on each side. Yeah. And they were all facing each other. And we were like...
I don't want to be blasted. I'm just thinking never ending story when he's
absolutely
trying to pass it.
That's just, what I thought too.
Yeah, so I didn't want to be vaporized, you know, second session. So, but we stayed there and we tried to figure it out.
Yeah, because there was one other room we hadn't explored, so we caught up with them, and then we were like, let's check out what's in here real quick. We go in there and there's a cage with a half-orc kind of beaten and bloodied and sort of malnourished in this cage, and he just kind of looks up with like these sad eyes, and everybody's just kind of like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, this is the only humanoid we've found in here. Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? And he introduced himself as Edric, and he has kind of a grayish skin, bald head, kind of a little bit of a beard coming in, and his clothes super, super tattered. You can tell he'd probably been in here for a little while. And he had told us that the Rat King had kidnapped him and held him here to do future experiments. Yep. So that was the first of the weird that was kind of explained to us, but we really wanted to figure out what those statues were and how the fuck to get through them. So we took this newfound hammer, and who did the swinging? I think it was Damon.
The swinging?
Or was it you?
It was me. Yeah, because I was tired of it.
Yeah, we
I was tired, like, you've got a hammer. Yeah, because I quickly took it out of Damon's hands.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got a hammer, go ahead. He's like, oh, I don't want it. So I went and grabbed it, and I sprinted at this statue, because it was just, I was getting annoyed by it, because there was a puzzle, apparently, and we could have figured it out. And so I just swung this hammer, and then, explosion.
As soon as the hammer hits the stone of the statue, there's just this wave of force, and it blasts everybody backwards. I swear, all of us almost died. We all got pushed backwards, and we all just land on the floor, like, 10, 15 feet away, and everybody's, like, groaning. Everybody's groaning and sitting up. And
did it work?
Everybody sits up and looks over, and the statue's fine. And everybody's like, ugh.
And then I think Edric took it from me. He's like, oh, I'll get that, buddy. Because I wasn't allowed to keep the hammer.
How did we get through that door?
Did we?
Where did we go?
I don't think we got through that door. I'm pretty sure we just went another way.
Yeah, like that was a side room. And then we just continued forward, like deeper into the tunnel.
It was filled with those carcasses, right? Those spider...
All
kinds of carcasses. Some of them were in cages, some of them weren't.
Yeah.
And they were just... There were so many of them, and it stunk so bad. And we had this this thing talking to us. And
yeah,
we had no idea where it was at first.
Humanoid rat, like...
But I think it was the size of, like, a gnome.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, after talking for a while, he said he knew the Rat King.
And so we find Nibbles, we let him out of the cage, and he promises us that he can lead us to this Rat King.
Uh-huh. So we followed him, and then he took us to, was that where the mushrooms were?
Ooh, yes.
Those strange...
Yeah, the weird spore-like...
Yeah.
Room, yeah, and he leads us through that, and we had to like follow his exact footsteps or something to get through to where the spores won't fuck with us. And through that room was a statue.
Yeah, this is where
it was a statue with kind of an altar underneath it that had a chalice, and the statue,
it's like midnight black, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a completely black statue, and it was a hooded sorcerer of some sort. And so Sky was immediately, like, curious, and yeah, and then she finally makes it to the chalice and takes a drink for some reason.
I think our ears were
ringing. The ears were ringing.
And then you could... So I didn't... Sundell didn't hear what you heard. He heard the ringing.
Yeah.
And then once...
Once I took the drink,
the ringing
went away. That's when the flashes.
And the voice. You heard the voice.
I heard the voice saying...
Drink the blood.
Take the power.
Take the power.
Yeah. Drink the blood, take the power. Over and over again. And like this just super deep, creepy-ass fucking voice.
And then I immediately went in there once you were just like...
Catatonic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sundell pulled her back out, and the voices were gone. The ringing was gone. While we were sleeping, I prayed to whatever entity had given me my powers. I asked for help, because whatever deal I had made with this entity, I couldn't carry out my part of it if I didn't make it out of here. So I asked for help. And the next morning we woke up to this weird little altar with a shadowy dagger on it. And I took it.
Yeah. And I think...
Nibbles was gone when we woke up.
Oh yeah, that's right. And I mean, everyone had thought he like had betrayed us or whatever. But
yeah.
We kept going wherever he told us to go. Yeah, and then that was done. And then there was a hatch.
That was fucking...
What the hell's that noise?
The air kicked back on.
Oh my god. What the... That, okay. That was pretty...
That was amazing.
Yeah.
There was a hatch.
We jumped down there, and that's
oh,
when
yeah,
we
and it
found...
was a tiny tunnel.
And
a very tiny tunnel.
After we crawled through that, we found the Rat King.
The Rat King at the very end, and he was like... Please don't kill me. Like, he was...
The Rat King. No, it was the old man.
Yeah, I think it was. It was
the
guy
man.
That hired us.
Yeah, so he was down
for some
there,
reason.
And you were pissed.
Yeah, I was done.
Because statue.
Yeah,
it
reminded me of Zane.
It had any relevance to him, and you were still pissed off from that. And
I walked up and I stabbed him.
You let him say like three words, and then you stabbed him. And so I quickly like, no,
dragged
no,
me
let's
back.
Not, let's not.
Yeah.
And
so I left. I climbed out of the hatch and I just started kicking furniture around, and you guys...
We talked to him for a little bit and he had no recollection. Like, He's like, I don't know what happened. Or
but then we figured that maybe Zane had taken over him. So it wasn't, I didn't feel that it was right of us to kill him.
This guy really wanted
you
to
were,
kill him.
You were mad. And really I, it's very understandable. We eventually got him out, got everyone out, right?
Yeah.
I don't think
and
there was
you,
anything else.
This guy really wanted to kill the Rat King, but you guys were like, we're going to let him go.
Hey, no, let's not do that.
And we're like, listen, if you do anything bad again, we will find you. I don't know, there was like this moment of, we could make a lot more gold. We could take on a lot harder jobs with more people. Yeah. So we were like, we could all kind of work together for a little bit.
Yeah, you and I were a little reluctant about it.
Yeah,
but then
I
we
mean,
did, then we kind of like, well.
We were basically like, if shit goes down, it's still just you and me, but we could use their help for some things.
Yeah, we can use cannon fodder for, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so Clara came up to Sundell and was like, I have this dagger. She had seen Skye use her other dagger, and they look pretty similar to each other. And so she's like, I have this dagger. I don't know why, but she just didn't want to give it to Skye herself. She was like, right. Will you give it to her?
Well, I mean, the last person that made her mad.
True.
Skye
stabbed.
Yeah. You like just met him and
doesn't
just
have very good self control.
Had a knife in there. Good.
Yeah.
So I decided I'd take the knife from her, but in doing so, I burned my hand. And I thought she still had her some kind of fire magic on it, so I told her to stop. And she said she's not doing anything. I didn't believe her, or I believed her again, and tried again. And still
burn the shit
hand.
Out of your hand.
Eventually, I wrapped it up, and then I. Brought it to you.
Yeah, and Skye was just like, where did you get this? And you said Clara. Yeah. And so Clara, in trying to avoid Skye being pissed, so Skye was just super pissed, kind of approached Clara and told her this was not yours to take. And stormed off and did not talk to anybody for the rest of the night, or did not want to talk to anybody for the rest of the night. But Sundell managed to find her hiding on a roof, and they just kind of talked a little bit. And Skye told Sundell that growing up in the elven village that she grew up in, when she got older, a lot of the boys would kind of come around asking Edmund if they can take her out, and she just...
Edmund. I thought it was Edward. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Edmund and Selena are the ones that raised her, and she just got her heart broken over and over and over, and so one day she asked her parents, more or less, she asked them, how do you know that someone is actually... Like, how do I know somebody actually likes me, and it's not just for the way that I look? And so Edmund and Selena had these daggers enchanted so that only those worthy of her heart could actually hold them.
This was within the 3 years, I found out that Sundell had a crush on Skye.
Yeah.
For a while, because of how you took care of him and just how you acted around him. And then... one night, we're going back in time now.
Yeah, kind of flashback here.
One night, it was like the regular, you know, you're going out to get food. The hunger status.
The feeding.
And the feeding. Sounds so
mm-hmm.
ominous, the feeding.
It's time for the feeding.
Yeah, well, it was one of those nights, and... Sundell's naive, and he doesn't pick up on stuff very quickly, and he saw you go with...
The mermaid.
The mermaid.
Mermaid performer.
Well, I saw you go back there with her, thinking that's who we were going to feed on. So I waited, you know, the usual time, and when I got in there, closing the door...
But interrupted some extracurricular activities, and so... Sky stopped and left to kind of come to you and sort of explain to you what was going on, because you're like, hadn't really seen anything like that before.
Yeah, and Sundell had always thought it was just male and female for the longest time, because that's just what he always saw. So it was kind of a shock, and then it transpired into like wait, you don't love me, or you don't like me, but you like me, and then it got into that really weird conversation.
Yeah, it was like a damaged person trying to explain to a younger person what love was, and it was just a really weird, and like, she tried.
All right, but yeah, so then back to the whole you loving Elena and, you know, the daggers only fit with one person. It was kind of, that was just, you know, another thing Sundell wasn't understanding right off the bat. Like, you know, we've been together for 3 years.
Yeah, what, you don't love me?
You don't love me?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you don't love me, like, love me. So that was another learning thing for Sundell. I think,
Clara, the different kinds of love.
Yeah,
like,
but I think Clara did come around and try to apologize to you.
She did.
Was it on the boat?
That was on the boat. Sky was trying to avoid Clara at all costs, and Clara kind of came up and said, "Hey, man, like, I'm sorry I took your dagger. I didn't realize it was so important to you." And Sky just kind of accepted the apology, but didn't put forth any of her own apology. There was a lot of pride there that was like, she was just shut down. And they continued to travel north.
Well, we all went to the skeletons.
Yeah.
We found some stuff down there.
Yeah.
We found Cursed.
Yeah.
He wasn't much of a... I mean, he wasn't very pivotal or anything. But
no.
We found a Thieves Guild there. Claire and I went over and tried to talk to the Thieves Guild, and they were like, too sketchy. They're like, bring us these 3 jewels?
Yeah.
They
were gems.
Gems.
3 gems.
Red, yellow, blue?
Yes. Red, yellow, blue. And then on the, like, job posting board, there was also a job.
The church wanted them.
Yeah.
And then a blacksmith.
Yeah.
Wanted them.
3 different people groups were like, get these gems. And so we're like, okay, I mean, sure.
We went in there, and then we were this large chamber with, like, fine columns. Really well-made stonework.
But then there was that... Was it just one big altar that had the 3 skulls on it?
And then there was another altar that we came back to before we left.
Yeah, it had 3 skulls, and each skull had a gem in it, right?
One of the 3 gems we were looking for.
Yeah. And so, I think we took the whole skull. So we ended up keeping one of the gems, and then I think we destroyed the rest.
Yeah, because we didn't, because with all of them together... Yeah, because then Sky drank...
Yeah, motherfucker. She has a problem. Sky drank from really goddamn chalice.
And then I think Edric started smashing the wall in
a little
bit.
Yeah, with the hammer.
So
he
it
just
wouldn't
started
be opened up.
Busting everything. So we didn't get paid.
But we built character.
Sure.
You drank blood.
I drank blood. I don't know how much character I was really building. So then, after that job, we're just like, we didn't even get paid. We almost died.
You drink blood.
I drank blood. I'm so tired of this. Let's just move the fuck on. So we continued, and we eventually got to, we docked, and we were checking out this town, and people were riding horses quickly from the north, and they had said, our village is on fire. Like, we need somebody's help.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could see the fire in the distance. So we all head that direction. And once we get there, there's just every house is burning down, and people are dragging bodies everywhere. And Damon and Clara they rush to help, and then before Sky, Sundell, and Edric go to help, somebody is crying out, and they're saying, goblins attacked this village, they burned everything down, they took my son. So we're like, where did they take your son? We'll find them. And they kind of point us to a place in the woods, and so Clara and Damon stay behind to help the villagers, to see how many of them they can help save, with Clara being able to control fire.
Mm-hmm.
So Sky, Sundell, and Edric rush into the woods to find this goblin village.
Mm-hmm.
And we're following the tracks, and then we get distracted by some...
An owlbear. Crossbow, and then...
Yeah, you and I went up a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we climbed up some trees, and Edric's trying to hide in a bush. He tried to hide in a bush, and he's a half-orc.
Did you fall out of that tree?
I think I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we took care of the owlbear.
Yeah.
And continued on, and we were following these goblin tracks, and then... There's just this very beautiful singing. I think only you and I heard it.
Yeah, I think...
I don't think Edric really heard anything.
And it was, like, the most beautiful voices
melody,
I've
yeah.
ever heard. But, you know, I wasn't able to ascertain... I don't think I was even able to figure out what language it was.
No. And I think it sounded, like, somewhat familiar to Skye, but she just couldn't place it. It was just so different than anything you guys had heard. And
we followed it for a little bit, and we had to go off the path a little bit, but in doing so, we found ourselves looking at a very, like, a beautiful pond.
I think it was, like, crystal clear water.
Yeah, crystal clear. Just, it looked like a little paradise. Like the green, I mean, the
yeah,
grass
wasn't
tall.
Yeah, a picture with like more vibrant colors.
Yeah, I don't
like...
know why. I just got like the Lion King in my head right now. Like the vibrant colors and
yeah.
the relaxing water.
I mean, that's how I pictured it too. Like, we're coming out of these woods and there's this beautiful scene and there's this white doe drinking
yeah,
from this lake.
See. Yep.
And everybody kind of looked at each other and was looking at this doe. And with Sundell's childlike curiosity when it comes to animals.
Well, it was like the humming. I was able to hum the same pitch as
mm-hmm.
it. And so it just started coming towards me. And you know, I went towards it and I was able to touch it. And it was very, very, very warm and kind of a soothing. Like, touching it just kind of calmed me down a little
yeah.
bit. And, you know, I started talking to it, and it kind of looked at me a little weird, and then it, like, cocked its head over towards the water. I cocked my head, too, not thinking, you know, ain't thinking anything, just, you know, just trying to do whatever it was doing. And then it kind of walked towards the water, and I walked down into the water as well, and then it started pushing me to go in there, and I looked, and in the water there was a purple cloak of some kind. I'm getting a shaking of the head, disappointment. So I, you know, I decided to go down there and see what it was. I grabbed it, brought it back to shore, and
brought it over to Sky.
Yeah, and I asked you, hey, can you figure out what this is?
Yeah, looking at it, Sky could tell that it was just something not otherworldly necessarily, but something, it was some sort of plane magic, some other plane. It's definitely the material just didn't seem to be something from this plane of existence. And I told Sundell this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, cool. I took it back.
There was a brief pause and
it wasn't too brief.
Sky and Sundell just kind of looked at each other, and Sky was like, Sundell, don't!
I proceeded to put it on, and...
Sundell was gone.